It's good to see you all this morning. Just to follow on what Russell was praying for, sadly I heard from Judy on Friday night that Alan Taylor's condition has deteriorated quite rapidly last week, and so he's on full palliative care now at the moment, and so our thoughts are with Alan and Judy at this time. And I know Russell's prayed for them already, but I might just bring them before the Lord in prayer again, just briefly. So if you'd like to pray with me for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Alan and Judy. We thank you for the part that they played in our congregation over many years. We thank you for all the ways that they blessed us. And we do pray that you would be with Alan now. We pray that you would, that he would know your presence, your love, your comfort in just real and special ways that maybe he never has before. But we pray that he would know that you are walking this valley with him, and that would bring him comfort, and that we ask that you may receive him with joy, and that and that will that will fill Alan with joy as well. We pray that even now that these light momentary afflictions would be preparing an eternal weight of glory for him. And so we commit him and we commit Judy to you now as she's caring for him as well. And so let's watch over them, bless them and keep them. Grant them peace and rest and hope, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we turn to the Word this morning, I mean, our passage is in John. It's the sort of second part of John. It's the end of John chapter 16. But if just starting in another place, I mean, if you've ever read through Joshua chapter 1, you'll see that four times in that chapter, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Four times in one chapter. And when God repeats things like that, you know it's something that's really important. I mean, when you think about what Joshua was facing at the time, not only was he leading people in to conquer a whole nation, people who didn't have a home, and didn't have farms for a steady food supply or anything like that, and he was leading them in to conquer a nation so that they would have somewhere to actually call home. He knew the cities that he was going to lead his people against were fortified. They had big city walls. You just need to look at the story of Jericho and how formidable that target would have been. He knew, he'd been there 40 years earlier. He'd seen that there were giants there. It wasn't quite like what the scouts had pointed out. It wasn't everyone there was a giant, but there were giants there, and it was scary. And so, at least at that level, just at that level, God knew that Joshua was going to need to be strong and courageous. But not only that, he was leading a people who were frequently called stiff-necked and difficult. And he was the leader. And when you're trying to lead people like that, it takes a lot of strength and courage, especially when you're leading them to do something that's very, very scary that they really don't want to do. I mean, 40 years earlier, they came back saying, no, we don't want to, it's scary, there's giants there. And then all the people are going, no, no, no. And this is still the same sort of people. God knew that Joshua was going to need to be strong and courageous. He told him over and over again that he was going to need to be right at the very beginning. But, I mean, even for us, we're going, in the passage today, Jesus is going to encourage us or command us to be courageous. I mean, we might not have fortified cities to conquer. We might not have giants who are going to be fighting against us, like physical, literal ones. But, I mean, we still have formidable enemies that we're up against each and every day. We have, you know, the flesh, which is something within us which is constantly battling against us to make us want to turn away from Jesus. We have to battle every day. We have the world, this place that we live in, which is constantly trying to get us to turn away from God, to look, to turn another way. And we can't get away from it because we live in it. We have the devil who's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking who he might devour. And sadly, I think we all know that there's been weak times where we've let him have too much power over us. I mean, we have our own significant battles that we need to fight, and we need to be courageous as well, as each and every day, every time we get out of bed. But where does that courage come from? How do we find it? I mean, we're told to be courageous. How? Well, hopefully the passage this morning will give us some idea how we can, where we can find that courage, where we can find that peace, so that we might be obedient to Jesus and live and be courageous, take heart. So let's pray and ask that God would speak to us as we read this passage together. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us. We thank you that we can read it. We thank you we can read it together. We thank you that we can hear it taught. And so, Father, I pray that you would help me to faithfully teach this message that you've given. But, Father, I pray more than that, that you would, through your word, that you would speak directly to our hearts, that you would speak words of peace, that you would speak words that help us to be courageous in all the things that we have to deal with each and every day. And so, help us to hear from you this morning, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning we're covering the end of John chapter 16. This is bringing to an end a big section of Jesus' teaching that he started back in chapter 13. I mean, it all started when Jesus realized that his time had come to go to the cross. It says so at the very start of chapter 13. And knowing that, what did Jesus do? Did he melt away in fear? Because going to the cross is a pretty scary thing. Did he let worry take over his heart because he knew what was about to happen? Because, tell you what, if I knew exactly, you know, if I knew that I was going to go to a cross, it would certainly be a fairly strong temptation to let worry take over. It would not be a pleasant experience. But no, chapter 13 says, right at the very beginning, having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end. And from there, he demonstrated that love by proceeding to wash their feet. But not only that, I mean, Jesus knew two key bits of information that the disciples didn't know at the time. First, that he was going away and they couldn't come with him. And he knew the disciples' hearts would be troubled at the thought of him leaving, even more troubled when they saw him being crucified. And the second bit of information that he knew was that there were going to be hard times ahead for them. If they were going to keep following him, hard times would come that would make them want to melt away in fear. I mean, over the last 8 weeks, Jesus has been loving his disciples by talking him through these things. And what he said has been really relevant for us as well. I mean, in the same way, we don't have Jesus here with us in a physical body that we can shake hands with, that we can talk to as we talk to each other, that we can, you know, hug him if we see him. He's not here in the same way. We too face difficult things when we follow Jesus in this fallen world. And now all these things that Jesus has said between chapter 13 and 16, all these things we've covered in the last 2 months, to me at least, I think Jesus gives a perfect summary of it all in the last verse of today's passage. Now, if you're the kind of person who memorizes Bible verses, which is a great thing to do if you're one of Jesus' disciples, I hope that that's something that you do. This verse is one that I really hope you can commit to memory. If you've got that little handout that came with the Bap chat this morning, there's a space there to take some notes. At the very top there is a space to write down the verse for yourself if that's going to be helpful for you. There's a couple of other questions which you can fill out some notes as we go through as well, if that's your thing. But this particular verse, I think this one is so important. I want us at least at the start to all say it together. So can we do that now? The verse is John 16, verse 33. Hopefully you can see it there on the screen. So let's say it together. If you say it with me now, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. Now, if it's going to help you to write that out, you've got that space there to write that out on that handout as well. And Jesus knew his disciples were going to be troubled. But all these things Jesus has said, it's so that instead of being troubled, they can have peace in him. He knew his disciples were going to face suffering, which would make them fear. But all these things he said, it's so instead they can be courageous, taking heart in Christ's victory. Now just quickly, not victory in the sense of raising an army and conquering enemies on a battlefield, but conquer in the sense of Jesus defeating these things that no one else has ever been able to conquer. You know, those things I was saying before, the flesh, the devil, the world. I mean, internal and external forces that want to make us turn away from God and his will and his commands. Think another way is better. I didn't line up Pete to read out Isaiah 53, but you know that verse that says, we have all gone astray, and we have. But where all of us went astray, Jesus alone stayed true. And by staying true, that's how he conquered. And it's that for that humble obedience that God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name above every name. So those two ideas, peace instead of troubled hearts, courage instead of fear, I think they summarize what we've covered in the last 2 months. I mean, let me show you. Now, I've got four people lined up with readings. I don't have them lined up. I've got someone else to line it up, so it's going to be a surprise for me as well. I mean, if you've got a reading, hopefully in the top left corner there's a number, and hopefully you know who you are. So if you've got reading number one with John 14, 2-6 on it, could you please stand up for us now and read that out? Cool, thanks, Meg. Thanks for that, Meg. I mean, what Jesus is saying here, it speaks peace. Peace because the disciples are worried. Worried what's going to happen when Jesus is away. Worried if there's any hope for them. They're worried about what they're going to do, where they're going to go when Jesus isn't around. I mean, it speaks peace because Jesus is saying, look, I'm coming back. He's going to take them to the Father's house where he is. And it's going to be great. And even better, they know the way there. They don't have to worry about where they're going to go and what they're going to do. He is the way. And they will get to that place by following him, imitating what he's shown them, obeying what he's told them, which is the same for us too. The disciples and us, we don't have to fear that it won't happen because Jesus has conquered the world. We know that he was worthy to go to that place. And if he's promised that he'll come back and take us to be there with him, he's trustworthy, he's faithful. We can trust that he will do what he says. So even though we suffer here, we can take courage. Take heart. that he will come back and that he will take us to his Father's house. So he's, from the very beginning of this passage, he's speaking peace, he's speaking courage. I mean, next one. So does someone have reading number two? They want to stand up and read in a loud voice? Thanks, Mitch. Thanks, Mitch. I mean, peace, because even though Jesus is going away, they won't be left alone. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, who will be with them, who is with us, and remain with us. Even though Jesus isn't physically here, we're not abandoned, not alone. In some ways, we're even closer to God now, because with his Spirit in us, he is in us, and we are in him. Something that wasn't possible in that same way when Jesus was here in a physical body. So, peace. We don't have to be worried that because Jesus isn't here. But also courage. I mean, just as Jesus conquered death because he conquered the world, he will share that victory with us. We don't have to fear even death itself. Because as Jesus says here, because I live, you will live too. We can be as sure of life after death as we are sure that Jesus came alive again from the dead and is still alive today. So we don't need to fear even death itself. We can take heart. We can be courageous in its face because we know that it won't have the final victory. So we're just working through what Jesus has been saying in the last in the chapters we've been looking at. So we're... Has someone got the third reading? They're like, oh, great. Thanks, Libby.
I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples.
Great, thanks very much, Libby. I mean, again, peace, courage, peace, because we're given the task as Christ, the task that Jesus has given us to be his disciples, it is too big for us. We can't do it ourselves. It's impossible for us to do it on our own. But it's not a reason to worry, because it's the Father's will that we would be fruitful in that task, that we would succeed. So he sent Jesus to empower us to fulfill it. Definitely. Even though Jesus isn't physically here, we can still remain in him through the Spirit so that we can do all things that God asks us to do through him who strengthens us. We don't have to worry about our own frailties, but we can take peace. Because when God asks us to do something, he is only too willing to equip us and empower us to do whatever it is, if we come to him and ask for his strength. It's because of Jesus' victory which opened the way to the Father. I mean, we can boldly, courageously approach the very throne of grace of God the Father and ask for his help and have an expectation that God will answer with grace and mercy and empower us to do what he's asked us to do. So, and even there, Jesus is speaking words of peace. He's speaking courage. So, the fourth one. Who's got the fourth reading? Here we go. All right. Thanks, Todd. You know, that's a different sort of passage to what the other ones have been, but let's just say, I think Jesus is still speaking peace. Because if the world rejects us, I mean, as disorientating as that is, it shouldn't be unexpected. It doesn't happen all the time. We're thankful for that. But as Jesus was hated by some, if we're going to follow him, we should expect the same thing. So that if it does happen, we don't need to be troubled, wondering if we've done something wrong. But also, Jesus is trying to tell them that they can take courage. Because even though the world hated Jesus, he didn't let it make him melt away in fear. It didn't cause him to give in to temptation, to respond in sinful ways. And he conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil by remaining totally committed to obeying the Father. And we can take courage in similar situations because the same Spirit who is working in him to empower him to do that, he's now sent to be in us. So that when we're under temptation from the world, the flesh, and the devil, temptation to fear, temptation to sin, we can, if we stay in him, if we seek his strength, his power, his courage, we can instead be empowered to take heart and to conquer the temptation. So again, Jesus speaking peace and courage. I mean, the message of peace and courage, it continues in today's passage as well. I mean, first, when we get to it in verse 16, there's a little interaction which show that the disciples still haven't quite understood what Jesus is talking about. Which is going to be important later. So just remember this. So in verse 16, Jesus says, "In a little while, you will no longer see me. Again, in a little while, you will see me." Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he's telling us? In a little while, you will not see me. Again, a little while, you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." And they said, "What is this he is saying, in a little while? We don't know what he's talking about." And Jesus knew they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another about what I said, in a little while you won't see me, again in a little while you will see me?" And Jesus knows they're still confused, their hearts are still troubled, so he gives them one more reason to be at peace. So from verse 20, "Truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she's in pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." So again, Jesus is speaking peace to his disciples. Jesus knew his disciples were about to face some difficult times where they would suffer, that would make them mourn, that would make them weep, fill them with sorrow. I think here he's most directly talking about what was going to happen in the next 24 hours for them. Jesus arrested, sentenced, crucified, and dead. But I think the way the Bible often works as well, it's not too long a stretch to say, even though Jesus might have that foremost in mind, he also knows full well for a time, it won't be a walk in the park for the church until he comes back as well, just in a different way. But Jesus, he wants to speak peace into that because he doesn't want them to focus on the present difficulties, but on the glories which will come. Because he wants us all to know, the hard things, they won't last forever. The glories will come, and they will last forever. Never be taken away. And he gives the example of a woman giving birth. I'm not going to wade too far into that one. But the point that he's making here is yes, you know, giving birth is a difficult time, but the joy of having a child at the end puts it all in a whole new perspective. I mean, difficult times, especially painful ones, they have this great ability to make you only focus on what is happening right at that time and just how bad it is right now. They help us make us lose sight of the past and lose sight of the future so that all you can think of is that the pain is all there ever is, all there ever was, and all there ever will be. Think about it. When you get to the end of something difficult, how often do you remember that difficulty and carry it around with you everywhere? I mean, I know some things are really difficult and leave lasting wounds. But most of the time, most of the difficult things that we go through, I mean, I'm thinking about the nights when the kids are all overtired, they've been really difficult, and I've had a bad day, so I don't respond to that very well, and then the whole going to bed thing, it's just a really, really bad time for everybody involved. And you just get to the point where, when you're in the middle of it, you just think, no one is ever going to go to sleep again. We're just all going to keep each other up and frustrate each other forever. But the kids finally do go to sleep. And 15 minutes later, like, it's just been hours of frustration, but 15 minutes later, you walk past and you check on them and you see the little kid asleep in there. And what do you think? You know, just about every time for me, I'm not focusing on just how hard the last few hours were. You're just thinking, oh, they're so cute. And, you know, I love them so much. And then, it's then you think, you know, if I just could have kept this end in mind, that they will go to sleep and that it will be great, if I could have kept this end in mind over the last few hours, I'm sure this would have gone a lot better for everybody involved. I guess here, Jesus is trying to say, look, yes, bad things are going to happen. And look, they are going to hurt. It will be painful. It's not to make less of that. But he's saying, but you can have peace because we know there will be an end. Better things are coming. In context, Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to die on a cross, and that's going to be really hard for all of us. But I'm going to come back. You will see me again. It's going to be glorious. And later, he knows that his body's going to be taken up to heaven. They won't see him. They won't be able to come with him. And it's going to be sad. But he wants them to know that he will come back. They will see him again. And then he'll take them to the Father's house where the tree of life is, where the Father himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. I mean, Isaiah has this really amazing promise about what it will be like then in chapter 65, verse 17, where he says, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, and the past events won't be remembered. They won't even come to mind. Then you'll be glad and you will rejoice forever. Going to be so good then that all the difficulties we go through now, we won't even remember them. I mean, I know difficult times they make us want to focus on right now and forget everything else, but if we can keep that end in mind, that there is an end coming which is so glorious we won't even remember the present difficulties, if we can keep that end in mind, that there's a day coming when all the struggles, they won't even exist anymore. I mean, there'll be no weeping or crying or pain anymore because they'll have passed away themselves. God will set everything to rights. It will be so good we won't even remember that there was anything bad. If we can keep that end in mind, it's going to help us face the hard things now with peace. Peace that surpasses understanding. I mean, knowing this as well, it gives us courage in the face of fear, because we know that whatever evil it is we face, it can't ultimately have victory over us. The worst anyone can do to us in this world is kill our body, but Christ has conquered. Christ has overcome even death itself. A day is coming when Christ will complete that victory so that even death will die. It will no longer bother anyone, ever, forever. Christ shares that victory over death with his disciples so we can be courageous even in the face of death, because just as it couldn't hold Christ down, death will not hold us down either. Just as Christ rose again and he lives today, so we too will live even now, and we will live even more then. So we can have courage despite the suffering we face in this world, because the suffering will end. Everything that causes suffering will be judged and thrown into a pit where it will never ever come out again. And even, it's need to be a little bit careful about how you say this, but God is even able to use suffering for our good. I mean, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. And so Paul says, we don't focus on what we can see. We don't focus on these things that are causing us to suffer now. We focus on what's unseen. You know, the hope of eternal glory in heaven. Because what's seen is temporary. It's going away. But what is unseen is eternal. So, peace, courage. Even though there's difficult times, they will come to an end and they will be defeated. Next in the passage, Jesus reminds them of the peace and courage that they can have in prayer. In verse 23 and 24, he says, "You know, in that day you won't ask me anything. Truly, I tell you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete." In peace and courage they can have through prayer is something that Jesus comes back to a lot over these chapters. He's been reminding them about prayer a lot. It's just as telling Joshua four times in one chapter to be strong and courageous, if Jesus keeps telling us to ask the Father in his name, it's telling us just how important that is. We'll come back to this before too long, but for now, if we want to have peace instead of troubled hearts, if we want to be courageous instead of being fearful, if we want to be people whose joy is complete even, we need to be people who pray. And with the promise here, ask and you will receive. Yes, if we don't have peace or courage or joy, it could well be, there might be other reasons, but it could well be that James called it right when he says you don't have because you don't ask. But also, if you don't have those things, the peace or the courage or the joy, it might be because you're looking for it in the wrong place. I mean, look at this warning that Jesus leaves his disciples with at the end of the chapter. So I'm reading from verse 25. I've spoken these things to you in figures of speech, but a time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I'm not telling you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and again I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciple says, oh, finally, look, now you're speaking plainly and you're not using figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and we don't need anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus responded to them, oh, do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you is going to be scattered to your own home and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Just that last little bit there. The Father is with Christ and he's never alone, just as no believer is ever alone. As Jesus promised at the end of Matthew, I'm with you, even to the end of the age, walking through the dark valleys and comforting us. I mean, Jesus knew what was just about to happen. He knew he was about to be arrested and all his disciples were going to scatter, run away. Why were they going to run away? Because their hearts were going to be full of trouble and not peace, because they would melt away in fear, run away naked, rather than be courageous and stand firm. Why? Because they still hadn't gotten it yet that these things were in Christ and not in themselves. I mean, what do I mean? Look at the way the disciples say it here. They say, oh, okay, now we understand. And so now we've got a box where we can put what we're saying. Now we believe you. I mean, their belief was in their own reasoning ability. Their belief was in their own ability to put Jesus in the right box in their own mind. It wasn't in Jesus, which is why he rebukes them straight away, saying, oh, really, now you believe, do you? In the next few hours, stuff is going to happen that you're not going to comprehend, and then all your bravado is going out the window. I know. Your faith isn't in me. I mean, Jesus knows we can know lots of things about him. He knows we can know lots of Bible stories. He knows that we can articulate true theological statements, things like, oh, Jesus came from God, or that God is one. He knows we can, like, even Richard Dawkins can give a faithful presentation of what the gospel is. I mean, we can know and say these things and yet not believe them. And not believe in him. Not trust in his victory. And so bring our prayers to him, because ultimately our hope is... not pray to him, because ultimately our hope isn't in him and we don't trust. He is who he says he is. I mean, prayer is a pretty powerful indicator of where your trust is. If ultimately we trust that God is good and powerful and willing to help us, we will ask him. It'll just come naturally. And we'll find that he's only too happy to answer with the things that are truly good. Yet, if we never come to God in prayer, it could be that ultimately it's because we trust something or someone else. And we think that that's going to give us the things that we're asking for rather than God. So ultimately, the disciples, they hadn't understood it yet, that they needed to put their trust in Jesus. And so even though Jesus has been talking to them about peace and courage the whole time, because they weren't seeking it in him when they needed it most, it wasn't there. So as we come to an end and look at that verse again that we started with, we notice that the peace he offers is in him. And we can be courageous because Christ has conquered the world. Our courage is from his victory. And if we want to know this peace and courage for ourselves, it won't be in knowing things for the sake of knowing them. It won't be in doing things for the sake of doing them. It won't be from saying the right things to the right people at the right time, whether we believe in them truly or not. If we want the peace and the courage that he offers, we need to turn to him and come before him in prayer. Trust that whatever evil or suffering it is that we face, that Jesus has overcome it already, that he's conquered it, and that he's willing to share that victory over it with everyone who follows him if we come to him and ask for it in prayer. And so face suffering as one who will ultimately be the victor rather than the victim, and so face it courageously. And that different perspective, it just changes the whole thing when you look at it like that. That the suffering will not defeat me, but because Christ has overcome it and he shares his victory with me, I too will overcome this. So as you go out today, out into a world which won't be a walk in the park all the time, a world which gives you plenty of reasons for your heart to be troubled, plenty of reasons for your heart to fear, please remember these things that Jesus has been saying in John and find them in him. Because I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I've conquered the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you know us. You know all the things that we go through. You know how you know the difficulties that we face because you face them yourself. And yet, Father, we thank you that you have spoken the things that we need to know so that we can face these things in a way that brings glory and honor to you. So, Father, we thank you for all these words that Jesus has spoken, all these words that help us to find peace when our hearts want to be troubled, all these words that help us to find courage when our hearts want to melt away in fear. And so, Father, as we leave today, as we go out into the world that's around us, help us to seek this peace and this courage that is in Christ, that he offers through prayer and through himself. Help us to find it and help us to live in his victory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.